Friends from Radio, the Torino Film Festival. I'm Angelo Cerbi. I'm here with Paul Katis. Hello, Paul.
Hi there.
Director of Kilo 2 Bravo in the After Hours section. Your movie is kind of a tough one. We were talking earlier. Mm-hmm. A good one, but a very tough one to watch because it's like this 2 days or like a bunch of days in Afghanistan with this soldier, British soldiers that just do the day-to-day routine, but then they got caught up into a landmine, and this is the trick. How did you come up with this story? Because this is a real fact, actually.
It's a true story, yeah. I was motivated to make a British war film because I think, you know, we see an awful lot of American war films, but we don't see...
Only American war films.
And it'd be nice to see some more European war films. We were all there, after all. And so I was determined to find a story I could make. And, you know, I'm a first-time filmmaker, so you can't make a lavish action epic because no one's going to give you the money for it. Mm-hmm. So I was researching some stories, and I came across this story, not really intending to make an absolutely true story necessarily, but to find some research that I could build a story from. But having read it and having looked a little bit more closely, I realized that this story just needed to be told as it was. You didn't have to add or embellish anything. It was just an astonishing story.
Oh, yeah. And did you get in touch with the survived soldier, of course?
I mean, we were sort of lucky to a certain extent because this incident was quite well documented. There were a number of reports we could read. So if you like, the facts were already agreed. Mm-hmm. But from that point, having researched that, we then got in touch with all the soldiers who had served there and heard their take on the story. And that was invaluable because every single one of them effectively gave us a little cinematic gift. Mm-hmm. Because their retelling was very personal. It was very much about what was actually said. So most of the jokes that are in the film, most of the conversations that were held, some of the things that happened, the singing of Happy Birthday, all came from that research and all came from the guys telling us their stories.
And what did they how did they react to the movie? If they watched it,
well, we did a preview screening with them before it was actually launched in the UK. And Tom Williams and myself, Tom Williams is the writer. We were both extremely scared about showing it to them.
Can because, imagine.
You felt a debt to them because they had opened up their hearts to us as filmmakers. So you wanted to try and get it right for them. But we showed it to them in a little private screening room, and they all came out and loved it. So that's fantastic.
How was shooting? How was the shooting? Because it didn't look like a very easy one.
It's interesting people say that. I think, you know, for me, it was...
Probably because of the subject matter, I don't know.
Well, the subject matter was quite wearing, but also, I mean, the environment was pretty wearing. You know, what you see on screen is what we were shooting in. So it was 50 degrees plus occasionally. Extremely hot, very dusty, nowhere to hide. We'd had none of the sort of film luxuries you would normally have. Mm-hmm. I mean, the cast would stretch out underneath the trailers to try and cool off. There were no trailers put aside for them. So it was quite tough, but that toughness was quite beneficial, really, because we were trying to recreate a very tough experience for these guys. So all the actors sort of, you know, they couldn't possibly turn around and whinge about their acting circumstances when we knew what we were trying to recreate.
Yeah. You know, the thing that struck me most, I mean, besides the story, is the beauty of the landscapes. And the way you shot it makes it even probably more beautiful than what they are. And the first scene where the guy was, the doctor is having his bath in this lake, which is astoundingly beautiful, was, for me, was really a plus. So let's say the aesthetics of the place and of the shooting was a plus. Did you work a lot on that, or was like it just come to you because it was such an astounding place in itself?
It would be great to claim that it was all down to my directorial prowess. The reality is that if you find a location like that, and location is important, Kajaki Dam, the real place, used to be a holiday resort before the war. Is stunningly beautiful. You find a location like Frame Dan, which is where we shot it in Amman. It's you're getting production value for free, really. Point your camera in any direction,
and it'll work.
What it does mean, however, is that I determined to shoot it on a very wide lens throughout most of the film, because it's very little point in having landscape like that and shooting it on a tight lens because you're not going to see it. So in that way, the landscape did influence us. But also the juxtaposition of that opening scene where you you know, have the guy swimming in crystal clear water, and the closing scene where he's covered in blood and in the middle of a minefield is exactly the kind of journey that we wanted to take the audience on, because that's the soldier's experience. On the one hand, it's boring, but effectively like being on holiday with your mates. And on the other hand, it all just goes horribly wrong so very quickly.
The landmine, I cannot say scene because it's like a long chunk of the film. You did shoot it on the same landscape, on the same area, I believe.
Yes, it was. So the earlier scenes are at the top of the ridge, and literally down there's a wadi below that ridge in reality, and that's where we filmed that.
I was thinking that if, as you said, that the location was beautiful but very complicated to live with, to live in. And those scenes must have been even more complex to shoot because you have some, you know, effects. You have some makeup, like a fake chunked off legs. So it must be, how can you manage to keep the troop like working in a good way and under such conditions?
I remember at the we trained the actors. We took the actors on a short training course with the real parachute regiment. And one of the defining moments, I think, was when one of the para-reg soldiers stood up in front of them all and said, listen, guys, I served with these men. I knew Mark Wright. You better get it right. And you've never seen a bunch of actors being so motivated by someone just telling them that. And so consequently, I felt I had to do very little work to motivate everyone. They were all, you know, the script itself, the fact that, you know, they'd read some of the transcripts from Real Soldiers, it was its own motivation. Regarding shooting in the wadi, we shot it in story order. Big recommendation for any filmmaker who's doing something like this, because all the departments know what's coming up the following day and they don't have to wind backwards for continuity. So that definitely helps as well. And also in terms of a journey, you knew you were getting through the page count, so you could go home at night and know that you'd achieved something and you weren't going to go back and have to do it again.
How long did it take for you to prepare for the movie? I mean, for the research, for the writing, for having that, like the screenplay ready?
I'm sure it's a classic independent movie story. Having come across the story, we started work on it, I think, in 2010. We had a little snag because the British MOD didn't want us to talk to the soldiers, so they took 18 months to persuade to let us do it.
How did you persuade them?
Just by keeping on at them. Really. I think one of the reasons they take so long over these things is that they just think you'll go away, you'll give up. But we didn't. So that was probably the biggest amount of time, was just waiting for that. And then the having done the research, the writing was actually quite reasonably quick. And we knew we had a good script. But then, of course, like every other independent film, you have to raise your money. And that took a fair old bit of time because, I mean, the normal ports of call weren't interested in a British war film. But once we raised the money to production and to delivery, it was extremely quick.
Very quick. Is the film being released in the UK yet?
The film has been released in the UK. It was released actually about a year ago. We had a short cinema run, and then it's now out on Home Ent. And I have to say, you know, I was very pleasantly surprised by the reception. You know, the reviewers across the board recognised it as a good film, which is great. And generally, crucially, the armed services, you know, the guys who actually serve, recognize it as an authentic film. And again, that was one of the ambitions, was to try and tell it as it was.
Well, you know, but you can feel it that it's authentic since the very beginning. I mean, for me, I didn't know anything about this story.
But it's always interesting when you're making a film about a particular profession. You know, the profession, whether it's a medical professional, whoever it might be watching it, they all love those films, but they all invariably come out of it going, oh, it's nothing like that, of course. Well, that was rubbish. Well, we did have a great military advisor with us throughout, a chap called Luke Hardy, who kept us honest, you know, and would tap me on the shoulder and say, well, I wouldn't do it that way. So whatever you did, you know, and I very early on said, you know, you're the boss. So if I'm doing something that dramatically might be right but is wrong because that's not the way it happens, tell me. And then I will just have to readjust what I'm doing to make it work. Okay. And I think that's an interesting discipline, actually, for filmmakers to try and sort of make the truth your client, in a sense.
And are you working on your second feature now?
But there are a number of projects we're putting together. There's one more military one that I'm interested in. I don't want to just exclusively do military. You know, what interested me more than anything else about this was that these guys are, excuse me, are ordinary guys. They're the guys next door. You know, they're not born heroes.
Mm.
It's you know, sometimes with films, you see a hero walk on the screen. You know they're the hero instantly. Well, much more interesting to my mind is to take ordinary people, put them in extraordinary circumstances, and see what happens.
See what happens. Thanks a lot, Paul Katis, for having been with us. Director of Kilo 2 Bravo of the Torino Film Festival, Angelo Cerbi, Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.